Good morning, 7:40 here on the Mighty 690, and it is time for our monthly chat with Independence Police Chief Jerry Harrison, who joins us on the line this morning. How are you doing, sir?
Doing good, James. How are you?
Doing well. Good to have you on here. And I don't know, did you get woken up at all by any of that rain or thunder last night? It came by pretty fast. We didn't get as much rain as the folks up to the north did.
Well, you know, I didn't. I went out in the yard early this morning and saw the leaves and trash cans blowing about, and I think I missed a good one.
Yeah, it didn't last too long, but yeah, some of those folks, they really got a lot of rain, so like 5 or 6 inches. So anyway, hey, I know you all have been busy up there in Independence, and had you just recently completed your active shooter response kind of training on that. So I was wondering if you would be able to just talk with us a little bit about that and how it all went and kind of what you did with that.
Sure. You know, we had some deputies with the Montgomery County Sheriff's Office planned a major drill this for the last several months, and we were fortunate enough to be invited to that. And some of our active shooter instructors were able to help out with that on the day of the event. And so just about every agency, law enforcement agency in the county was represented, and we had a long day of good training.
Sure. So as far as the actual, you know, training and everything went, what kind of did you have to do in order to, you know, get that set up? You know, I know you're probably trying to make it as realistic as possible, right?
You know, they did a great job of you know, infusing all the noise and distraction and chaos in there. We had a lot of community volunteers come out, and they were mocked up to look like they'd been severely injured, and so it was. There was a lot of sensory inputs there to help us acclimate to such a dramatic event. So yeah, it was quite an ordeal, and we kind of trained on the tactics, and we brought Independence Fire EMS was there and participated in the training as well, and so we were able to train on evacuating the wounded as quickly as we can.
And what makes an active shooter, you know, event and, of course, a drill different than, you know, other types of police work?
You know, generally when law enforcement finds themselves in the potential use of force moment, we usually have an opportunity, or we try to build in time and distance and try to talk with people, try to de-escalate them, give them an opportunity to kind of come back down from their elevated state. But in an active shooter event, you know, time is life. And so the statistics speak for themselves, and, you know, they've researched how many rounds can be fired in a time frame and how many people can be injured and killed in a time frame. And so the training is drastically different. We move to the attacker and try to eliminate that threat as quickly as we can.
Well, sure. Yeah.
You know, there's no time for conversation and trying to calm people down. We just get to work.
Yeah, I mean, because you talk a lot about, you know, when we do have a police law enforcement situation, usually it's longer, drawn out. You know, we got that de-escalation sort of thing. But like you said, there's really not a lot of time in an event like this.
No, you know, we trained to drive past the wounded and injured folks and get right to the threat and try to shut that down as quickly as possible. And unfortunately, that means that it's a very fast and very violent situation. But, you know, I've said it before, there are times when, you know, violence is almost never the answer. But when it is the answer, it is the only answer. And an active shooter is definitely one of those moments where violence is the only answer. And so we've got to respond with violence and rapidly and shut that down and protect our community.
And so, of course, you're trying to neutralize that threat as quickly as possible. And I'm sure that, you know, knowing the school layout and, you know, knowing how you can get past locked doors and that sort of thing would be a value.
Yes, and you know, we do have breaching tools available to us. We're working on increasing, you know, every time we have a drill and we have training like this, we try to build in, you know, our IPD instructors have been slowly building our teams capabilities and knowledge on this topic, and so they've been training us up for the last couple of months to try to prepare for this big drill, and of course that prepares us for the real deal should it ever happen. But yes, you know, so the next step in our progression is to start increasing our training on breaching doors and things like that. And so we're always looking to improve our response, you know, in a step-by-step fashion.
Now, do you at Independence, the schools there, do you have school resource officers in place, and were they able to assist and take part in this drill at all?
We don't have a full-time school resource officer right now. Not that we won't have one in the future, but we're working toward that, hopefully. But one of the things we find, and I don't know the numbers, James, but in the research, they find that a lot of these active shooters, the school resource officer is not at that particular location when the attack occurs. And I think there was one in the Kansas City metro area, if you recall, last year, the school shooter was, or the school resource officer was there and was able to, you know, intervene in the violence and was able to shut that down. Just the police officer and the administrator were injured in that event. So it does happen, but as more often, the school resource officer is not on campus when these things happen.
Sure. Yeah, and I know that's something you definitely look at. And of course, you've been able to partner with some other, I know, first responder agencies as far as training goes, right, with something like this?
Yeah. So, you know, we had the sheriff's office there in Caney and Terryville and Coffeyville and, of course, IPD. I hope I didn't leave anybody out. I think pretty much every agency in the county had a representative there, or at least two or three officers there, and then Independence Fire EMS, our instructors were able to train them and on a safe, appropriate evacuation of the wounded so that we keep our EMS folks safe so that they can continue treating the wounded throughout the event. And so they participated in the training with us, and we've trained them on how to get into an event like this, get the wounded, get them out, get them to help as quick as they can.
Now, did you have any teachers at all involved in this this most recent exercise? Because I know, obviously, in a situation like this, you know, they need to know a little bit of what to do, and I'm sure that there's some policies and that sort of thing and procedures in place for them.
We did have some teachers that were volunteers. I didn't get to spend a lot of time with the volunteers, but I did recognize a handful of folks. Some of them were teachers from different schools in the district. I don't know where all of them came from, and just a big shout out and a thank you to them for giving us an entire day out of their summer to come in and help us. But you know, these things don't just happen in the schools, and we train in ALICE training is a response to active shooters for the public, not for police officers, but for the public. And so it's a run, hide, fight thing. And the schools, we've trained the schools for the last several years on that. We've worked with them to help them have that training. So that's kind of a separate response training compared to what we did with all the law enforcement.
Sure. Yeah, got you there on that. And what other types of training did you, you know, that kind of goes along with this that you want to talk about here today?
I think, you know, we think back to some of the more recent active, you know, such a sad thing to say, but, you know, we have a big country and these things happen. You know, the chances are that they won't happen in any one location, but they do happen. So we do have to train and prepare, but, you know, we look back at the last couple of active shooters in the recent news, and we see well-trained law enforcement agencies roll into action and shut things down. But unfortunately, you know, we had the Uvalde incident, and so we kind of all go back to that and all the lessons learned there. And so we talk about that with our officers. We talk about, you know, the highest priority for an Independence police officer and probably every officer in the country is the preservation of life. And so, you know, if that means that we destroy a building to save people's lives, we're going to do it. And we may destroy several. I mean, just whatever we have to do to save people's lives, that's what we're going to do. And So, you know, we talk about, hey, if you can't get through the door, you can't get a breaching tool, you know, what else can we do? Can we drive a car through that building? What, you know, can we get a bus through that building? What do we need to do? So we talk about these things to get people thinking and let them know, hey, in this scenario, you know, keeping this building a nice building is not our highest priority. Getting the, you know, like in a school situation, getting the kids out, you know, and these things don't just happen in schools. They happen in workplaces. They happen in churches. They happen in shopping centers and community events. So, you know, we talk about all the different scenarios that have unfolded across the country and try to tabletop those and kick ideas around about what's the best way to respond to those things. And we try to learn those lessons. Those lessons in Uvalde were very costly, and we owe it to our community and to the people in Uvalde to learn from what happened there.
Well, and it's good, I feel like, to have this sort of training, because in a active situation like that, you know, seconds count, like you said, and not everything is going to be able to be run through you. I mean, everyone can't just, you know, stop and radio in and ask if, you know, permission or whatnot to actually do something, I would think.
No, we train our officers to just go, go, go. They know the rules. They know the tactics. They know what's expected of them, and in the training events, oftentimes I'll be in the class with them, and I'm just another student in the class. We don't deal with rank and that kind of thing in these types of training events. I'm there just to learn and to participate, just like they are, and I don't provide guidance or answers. You know, during the scenario, it's time to get to work, and our instructors will break the scenario down afterwards and spend some time teaching us, but we want people to respond with confidence in their training and their equipment and their ability, and so that's what we focus on.
We're talking with Independence Police Chief Jerry Harrison. And sir, anything else you'd like to share, any other observations from the most recent active shooter training you had in Independence?
Well, you know, we've got to talk about Alice training again and just say, you know, if any organization inside the city limits is interested in that, we have the capability to schedule that with you, and we can, you know, if you're outside the city, we can partner with the sheriff's office. We work together on these kind of projects all the time, have for a few years now, and so you know, just give us a call at the main line and ask for Dustin Stafford, and we can get you on the training calendar. And I think one of the things that I want our community to know is that, you know, our officers are trained, equipped. We have the firepower. We have the protective equipment. We have the tools that we need to respond to these situations, and we're trained and ready to go. So, you know, those are the things that are important to me to know. I hope I can bring some peace of mind to the community and let them know that, you know, we've learned from others, and you know, we are preparing for these events and the unfortunate situation if it ever were to occur.
Well, it's not something we really like to think about, but it is good to know that you all have had some training and preparation, so we do thank you for that. And of course, you know, it wouldn't be a Thursday with Jerry Harrison if we didn't talk a little bit of crime prevention, right?
We always got to talk about crime prevention, James. We had 27 cars stolen in 2021. We usually are pushing close to 30 every year. Just saw the crime stats for 2022 just came out last week, so next month we'll talk about that. But, you know, we cut that number down to 13 this year, and I think that goes to the credit for that, I think, goes to our citizens for, you know, doing crime prevention. So keep doing it. Let's drive that number down to zero. I think in 26 years I've seen 3 cars stolen without the keys. Again, you know, we average probably close to 30 a year. So this is an almost 100% preventable crime. So I want our community to stand with us. You know, we're shorthanded, and we need your help. And prevention is the key. So, you know, don't leave your keys in the car. Lock your cars. Lock all the doors you own. Roll your car windows up. Put your house windows down and lock. Car doors locked. Put cable locks on your bike. And, of course, if anybody is interested in starting a neighborhood watch group, they can call us, and we'll connect you with the person for that and try to get that going with you.
Hey, yeah, always good to grow those healthy neighborhoods as well. And I know you're still looking for some police officers and dispatchers, right?
Oh, yeah. Now's the time. If you want to be a part of something that's more important than you, and you want to be a part of something that serves humanity and makes our community better every day, you can come down and see us. And you know, we try to create a work environment where people are treated with respect and dignity, and we want them to look forward to coming into work every day. So if that's the kind of organization you want to serve in, no experience is necessary. We provide all the training, and we pay you while you're there in the training. So, you know, come see us, come make Independence better, and stand with me, and let's protect our community together.
That sounds like a plan. Sir, I really appreciate you coming on here and letting us know about how the training went, and, of course, sharing your usual words of wisdom that we have on. It's always good to talk to you, and look forward to, again, to chatting here next month.
All right, James. Thank you. Have a great month, man. We'll see you. See you in August.
All right. Hey, that sounds like a plan. You have a good one. All right, that is Independence Police Chief Jerry Harrison here on the Mighty 690. We appreciate him calling in each and every month. We do that on the second Thursday of the month at 7:40, if you want to mark your calendar there for next time. And, of course, the recording of our interview available online at kggfradio.com. That's underneath the community tab and underneath the KGGF Morning News interview. So good stuff on that. Coming up, we are going to be talking with Denise York of Coffeyville's Reawakening. That'll be at 8:40. Got some K-State research and extension programming here in just a little bit right after the news at the top of the hour. We'll be starting open line right around 9:10. And if you want a sneak preview of our Coffeyville Coffee Company question of the day, you can head on over to the Facebook page. 95 degrees is going to be our high today. We do have a heat advisory for Kansas starting at 1 o'clock, and Oklahoma's heat advisory starts at noon. 75 degrees right now in Coffeyville.
We want to be your work boot headquarters.